Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to read the first 7 verses. Bible says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles." We're going to be talking about Galilee. "By the way of the sea along the Jordan, the people walking in darkness have seen great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They will rejoice before you as the people rejoice at harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. And every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for their burning, will be for fuel in the fire." That sounds Christmassy, doesn't it? "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government in peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Lord, we come to you this morning and we thank you for children. And we thank you that we can come to you as children and celebrate the gift that we receive from you. A mighty counselor, a king of the line of David, the lion of the tribe of Judah, that comes born of a virgin to come and reign in our lives and transform us and give us new hope, new vision, and a new destiny. Lord, we thank you that you are good and mighty and awesome. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, Pastor Paul referenced rain, I think, this week. I read that we got up to 1 inch of rain along the coast. Anybody have any flooding? I mean, we only get rain like once a year, and when it comes, usually bad things happen, wrecks happen, all that kind of stuff. We did not have any flooding, but historically, I cannot say that. We put in a sump pump years ago. When too much rain comes, it just pumps it right out. Back in the day before we got the sump pump, we would try all kinds of things to keep the rain from washing into our home. And I remember going down to Ocean Beach and getting from the city of San Diego sandbags. Has anybody done that before? You know, get sand. Oh, there we go. Yeah. And my wife said, "Hey, we can use that, you know, talking about it, put the sandbags out, it'll help you from flooding." And so I put the sandbags up in the area in which, you know, the water would build up, you know, 2-3 inches high. And it kept the water out. But when you get 2-3 inches of water sitting on your sandbags, it's going to find every gap that you got. You know what I'm talking about? Today we're talking about filling the gap, because just like my wall against rainwater, many of us come in here this morning with gaps in our lives. Amen? Me and you, Aaron, I like that. We talk about the gaps that was going on in the lives of the Jews. 2,000 years ago, the Romans ruled the land, and they would move you about as Mary and Joseph were moved about. We will discuss that and celebrate that with a Posada on Christmas Eve. The Romans would come and bring taxes, and there was a feeling that the Romans were the enemy of the day. But it's not the Romans that create gaps in our lives. Today, there are no Romans, and we still have gaps in our lives. Can I get a witness on that?
Yes.
And as we talk about filling the gap, We talk about the Lord coming, Emmanuel, God with us, and he comes to fill the gap in our lives. Amen? We're going to talk about Joseph today in Matthew chapter 1. And last week we talked about Mary and Joseph. And from them we get our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. And so we have, last week we looked at Luke's story written to Gentiles, Greek speakers. And today we look at Matthew's story about Joseph written to Hebrew speakers or written to Jewish speakers. And the two, written from entirely different viewpoints, fit together like a glove. And as we realize that indeed the Holy Spirit is the writer of the book and causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him. Amen? And so we're going to take a look at Joseph today. And we're going to take a look at how God's going to step into the lives of the Jews to fill their gaps. And you come in here this morning maybe with some gaps that need to be filled. God will fill them this morning. Amen? Title of today's message is Filling the Gap. Now, if you've got your Bibles, you can slide on over to Matthew chapter 1. We will spend the rest of our time today. We'll go verse by verse, starting at verse 7. It says, and this is a deal here, because God is going to do something special. And often start with verse 18. I wanted to slide back one verse to verse 17 as he talks about the genealogy of Christ. I didn't want to read the genealogy to you. It takes a while. But Matthew makes a point here. Thus, there were 14 generations. If you're not familiar with Matthew chapter 1, you know, it's like Abraham was the father of his father, and it goes all the long list, 21 generations. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. And I want to let you know that in the midst of all the drama that was going on in Jerusalem and Judea and Israel back in the day with the Romans and all the drama that they were bringing and the persecution and the death and the travesty, that God was right on track. That God had a plan of redemption. God had a plan to step into line, into the lives of those people that were living in Jerusalem. And this track or this plan or this program had started years and years before. 2,000 years before, the Lord spoke to a man named Abram. Said the Lord said to Abram, Genesis chapter 12. Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. That sound like a good promise, Rocky? God came to you today and says, Rocky, I want you to leave San Diego, everything you know, and I will turn you into a great nation. That's a pretty good deal, amen? And he says, and he continues on, he says, I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. And skipping ahead to verse 3, it says, all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so Matthew, writing to Jewish speakers, ties all the way back to this promise 2,000 years prior made to Abram, that as he speaks to Joseph coming up, and he speaks to the Jews, and he writes to the Jews, we can go all the way back, grab onto that blessing and experience it today. And I want to let you know that 2,000 years past Matthew's time, that promise still goes out. And you come in here with gaps. They can be filled today with the blessings of the Lord. Amen? All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The list that Matthew puts forward in chapter 1 is not exhaustive. It is not intended to show the direct lineage, because there's obvious generations that were left out that you can track back through Chronicles and Kings and those types of things. But Matthew's trying to make a point. Matthew is trying to draw a picture, draw a line back to Abraham and back to the promises that were made. And he says, hey, if we go back 2,000 years, we can see Abraham. And then he goes to the line of David. And David was the king. And then we go 400 more years, a couple more years than 400, but 400 more years, and we see the destruction of the nation of God. They had worked so hard to make, and Matthew brings this up. He says, man, you go back to Abraham, there was nothing. There was one guy. There was one family. Come to David, the zenith, and then 400 years later, we're in exile because we had forgotten God. We had massive gaps in our lives, and rather than turn to God to fill them, we went our own way. We turned away from God, and we were destroyed. And he points it out. He says, look at our history. And then he says, 14 generations from the exile to Jesus. Now, how many of you, not a trick question, can count to 14? Come on, right? Yeah, I knew you could do that, right? Yeah, right. If you count, I think Matthew can count to 14. If you can count to 14, you'll realize that there were indeed 14 generations listed from Abraham to David, and 14 generations listed from David to the exile. But there are only 13. Generations that are listed from the exile to the Messiah. And if indeed the Holy Spirit wrote this book, you have to ask yourself, can the Holy Spirit count to 14? I'm banking that he can. Can I get a witness on that? And in the same way that Matthew is trying to draw a line back to us to Abraham and bringing it through David and through the exile so that we can get a picture, he is painting a picture here for us. Are you tracking with me? There's something that we are supposed to get by the fact that it goes 14, 14, and 13, and he calls it 14. And we're missing a father in that last list. And Matthew doesn't tell us what's going on until we get to chapter 3, where Jesus is baptized. And there is a voice that comes from heaven and says, behold my son, in whom I am well pleased. Not even one amen on that? Amen. Behold my son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen? You see, there's a gap in that last chunk of 14 that is filled by our Father in heaven. Amen? Because he will be called Son of God. Amen? It shows Joseph's father is Jacob. But Joseph's is not the father of our Lord. Our father, the father of our Lord, is in heaven. Amen? All right, let's keep going. God's track can be kind of complicated. All right, we're jumping ahead now into the Christmas story. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. We talked about this last week. But before they came together, problem, complication, Mary was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not something that Mary was particularly trying to conceal, and she was found out. But how many of you ladies have born a child? Come on, Eloise, I know you've got a... There you go. All right, come on up high. You know, I've had a child right here. There becomes a point when there is no doubt that you are with child. Can I get a witness on that? Men, I want to let you know, do not attempt to identify this point, because if you are wrong, it is a big wrong. Just let the ladies deal with it. They'll let you know. But that point came in Mary's life, and there was no doubt that she was with child. Matthew tells us that She was born, she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And we're told that indeed Jesus is born of a virgin. That in Jesus' day, I did not mention this last week, I did some more research on it. Because culturally it's a challenge to us, but in Jesus' day, normal time for betrothal for a boy was the age 13, and for a girl was the age of 12. Yep. So we're talking about, on Wednesday night, I was teaching the youth, and I got all these girls. Now I'm 12, I'm 13. I said, you're too young, you're too young. We're talking, who's 16? They weren't too young. Last week we talked about the angel Gabriel visiting this young girl, Mary, saying this is the plan of God to transform Israel. Her answer, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's slave. May it be to me as you have said. Now, Mary, as we said, was betrothed to Joseph and would have been arranged by their parents. And Joseph's parents would have paid a bride price for Mary. They would be betrothed. It was a legal contract. And they would consummate their marriage several months to a year after the betrothal, and that is when Mary becomes pregnant. This betrothal is a time of testing of fidelity. They would spend very little time together. But the worst thing that can happen during betrothal is for the bride to show up pregnant. Can I get a witness on that? See, back in the day, or in our time, we just call it premarital sex. And you just can't stop children from doing that. But back in the day, it was called adultery. And you could be stoned. You could be killed. Now, it was rare for anyone to be stoned or killed because of adultery or premarital pregnancy or fornication or whatever you want to call it at the turn of the century. But thou shalt not commit adultery comes right after thou shalt not murder. And it's sin. And this appears to be a massive fail on the part of Mary during her betrothal. You ever have a massive fail in your life? My uncle is here today. When I was a child, how old is Nathan?
Six.
I was seven when I went to go work for my loving uncle. I worked for him till the time I was 10. Well, just in the summers. And the first summer was only like 2 weeks. But I would rake hay, drive tractors and trucks and do all that kind of stuff. He says that I didn't do that, but I remember doing that. And one of the things that I did was cut hay. And that is a windrow or a swather or something like that. It's like a giant, the biggest lawnmower you ever seen. And what you would do is go through the hay or the alfalfa and cut it, and it'll leave behind you a windrow. And the hay would be dried, and then the balers would be raked, turned over, dried some more, and then the balers would come and do that. And so I am cutting that hay, and I notice as I am going that the row, I'll show you the row, those are the rows. It's kind of pretty, sunset and all that kind of stuff. My uncle came along and saw me grabbing the pictures. How much they want for those tractors? And I said, no, Uncle, come on, I'm just doing a sermon here. And but those are windrows. And I get to the end, and I notice there's this little hook that is forming in my windrow. And I go, and the next row, it's worse. And I'm thinking, this is not good. but I got to cut the field. And so as I go, this hook gets progressively worse and worse and worse until my rows start looking like a hockey stick. Okay? Whoa! Whoa! And my uncle had this yellow truck with a flatbed on it, and he comes to the end of my row. And he gets out of the truck, and I remember he had this red tractor cap. It was, I don't remember what it was. But he grabs that cap, and I'm in the tractor, it's going, and he grabs that cap, and he just throws it on the ground. And I'm thinking, he's not happy about this. And about, I don't know, 20 seconds, he comes running at me like this. Stop, stop, stop. See, no matter what I did to fix that bend, I could not fix it. And he's going, just stop. And so I stopped the tractor, and he, get him, climbs back up in there, and he fixes it in about 10 minutes. But I got this 25 rows, hockey stick rows, that somebody's got to come behind me and bail. Sometimes our lives are like that. And we got this little hook that starts. We got this little gap that starts. And we can start trying to fix it over and over. And it's just getting worse. And it's just getting worse. And it's just getting worse. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And what we need is somebody to come along and just say, stop! Let me help you with that. You got hockey stick rows in your life. You got gaps in your life this morning. The Lord comes near and says, stop. I'll fill your gaps if you let me. Amen? Oh, yeah, me and Aaron, we got it going on. Okay, here we go. Dealing with the complications, because life is complicated. And you know what? Joseph being betrothed to a pregnant woman, it's complicated, and he's only 14. All right. Verse 19. Oop. Move my page. Here we go. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And I want to let you know that Joseph does everything right and still makes the wrong choice. Joseph is faithful to the law, and the law of Moses has been broken because we have a pregnant girl who is not married, and there's just no way that the law of Moses has not been broken. Are you tracking with me? Everybody look at me. Are you tracking? And so he does what every good Jewish boy is going to do, and he says, I will divorce her. I'm not going to put her up and make a display of all this. I'm going to put her away quietly, and you can divorce somebody with two witnesses. And so he is going to do a kind thing to Mary. He's doing the right thing, but he's doing it. He's making the wrong choice. Big choices for a boy 13 or 14 years old. Amen? What do I do? What about Mary? Do I obey God or be faithful to Mary? She hasn't been faithful to me. How can I possibly grab onto this? There's no way that this can work. And as we see Joseph making big choices, I think that perhaps in the same way that the Lord expects us to be able to count to 14, that perhaps the Lord would expect us to make some difficult choices in our lives. That if the bar is raised this high for Joseph and Joseph is 14, perhaps in our children's lives, that we can raise the bar and have greater expectations on them. There we go. Because we start making poor choices when we're 14, the gap gets big. Lord says, stop. I'll fill your gaps. If you're going to demand better choices from your kids, you better expect better choices from you. Amen. All right, watch out. Here we go. All right, Joseph hears from God. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. Remember, his dad's name was Jacob. We just read that. Or if you read chapter 1, you just read that. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This is in a dream. This is maybe that night. This is maybe the next night. He's struggling through this, and the angel of the Lord comes and says, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because that's when you got married, you took her home. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jacob, son of David. He's going, wait a minute. My dad's name is Jacob. They call him son of David when, because he was of the lineage of David. And the angel of the Lord, it was the angel of the Lord that spoke to Abraham on Mount Moriah. As he was getting ready to kill his son Isaac, said, Abram. He's like, yes. Don't kill your son. It's a good message. Amen. It was Moses, Exodus chapter 3, where the angel of the Lord spoke to him from the burning bush. And so we got the angel of the Lord, which is big time in the Old Testament, of which Matthew is well versed. And he says, son of David. And all of a sudden what he's doing is he's lifting Joseph's gaze a little bit higher. We're talking about big stuff, Joseph. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. God's going to do something big. Big things are going to come out of the line of David. Jeremiah. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. Expectations were high for the line of David. And when they got together for Thanksgiving, they didn't get together for Thanksgiving, but they got together for the feasts, and they would talk of the line of David. And they went to the city of Bethlehem, who was David's city. There was expectations for the line of David. And Joseph in that line, and his cousins would talk, and his aunties would talk, and his uncles would talk, line of David, Messiah is coming through our line. And when that angel of the Lord said, Joseph, son of David, all that stuff started clicking in. And these expectations, a righteous branch, a king who would come of the line of David, whose reign would never end, those things started clicking in Joseph's mind. Message of the angel of the Lord, don't be afraid. Mary has not been unfaithful to you. Mary has been faithful to me. She'll give birth to a son. Name him Jesus. Means Yahweh saves, and he will save his people from sin. Easy to miss this. Because everybody who is looking for a Messiah, and we talked about the vanquishing of the foes of Israel in Isaiah, as we read it in chapter 9 this morning, easy to think that we need to be saved from the Romans today. Our Messiah is coming. A king is going to be amongst us who will raise up an army and will deliver us from the Romans. But the angel of the Lord says he's going to save his people from sin. Because it is your sin that creates gaps in your life that need to be filled. And Jesus comes near this morning and he'll fill the gaps of your life. Amen. Jesus comes to save you from sin. Matthew does not tell us in chapter 1 how we would be saved from sin. But, make sure I get this right, chapter 26. Jesus sits with his disciples. And he passes around a cup. And he said, in this cup is my blood of a new covenant, which is given for the forgiveness of sin. Chapter 1. We have a Savior that comes, a child that is born that will save his people from sin. And in chapter 26, we are told how that's going to happen. You're here this morning and you have gaps in your life. You're here this morning and you have pain and you have drama and you have holes and you're longing for someone to say, stop! Let me fix this. The blood of Christ. Save you from sin. And begin to fill the holes and the gaps in your life. Amen? Give me one big amen. Come on. Amen. There we go. All right. Here we go. Chapter 3, or point 3. We're almost done. We'll get you out of here. We got some good stuff for you downstairs. But let us feast on the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Plan is moving ahead. Plan is moving ahead. Matthew 1, 22 and 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. The prophet Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. You can sit right there, Jeffrey. All right, where's my ushers? Can't have children walking through here bringing presents. So my ushers would man the... Thank you, Jeffrey, for walking through twice, buddy. Thank you. Yeah, a little round of applause for Jeffrey. There we go. All right, Josh. Any other children come in, tell them that you're Santa's delivery boy and that you'll take their presents for their mothers. All you ladies are getting presents made in your class. But we don't need to see all the children up here. So I'm going to be talking about the prophet Isaiah here for a minute. We don't need 25 kids bringing their little presents. You get a witness on that, Aaron? Thank you. All right. Okay, here we go. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. We read from chapter 9. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. You heard that part before? It's a famous part. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God comes close. Emmanuel. God comes near, comes close. All the way back 600 years before Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7 through 9, it talks about vanquishing the foes of Israel. And they're thinking about that. We read from chapter 9, verse 4, to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And we celebrate that. We celebrate the promises that come through. But sandwiched in between, verse 7, Isaiah. I'm sorry, chapter 7 Isaiah and chapter 9 of Isaiah is chapter 8. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. Back in the day, in Isaiah's time, they were worried about the Arameans. The kingdom of Aram was attacking. The northern kingdom attacking. We're afraid these are the guys we need to worry about. In the time of Matthew, it was the Romans that they were afraid. And Matthew jumps from Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 9, and in the, right in the middle it says, the Lord Almighty is the one you are to be afraid of. He is the one you are to dread. He will be a holy place both for Israel and Judah. He will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Perhaps you're familiar with that text that Paul uses so mightily in 1 and 2 Corinthians. See, it all wraps in together about how the Lord would come near, how the Lord causes us to draw near, that in Isaiah's time, the people of Israel had lost track of the Lord. How the people in Matthew's time and in Jesus' time had lost track of the Lord. And so the Lord says, I'm going to make it easier for you. I send to you a Savior and a Redeemer called Emmanuel. God comes near. Amen? Amen? Yes. It will be easier for you to get on track. It will be easier to grab onto me when the gaps in your lives create so much pain that I can come and say, stop! Let me help you with that. Let me fill in some of the gaps in your lives. Let me save you from your sin. It's not a message that you hear today. The message we hear today is there's no such thing as sin. And the gaps that we have, no big deal, we'll just fill them ourselves. I found that I couldn't fill my gaps anymore. Me and Aaron. Gaps got too big. Pain got too harsh. Had to stop. Have God come near. Joseph gets in line. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded. That's called obedience. He took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus. Angel says to Joseph, God's making all kinds of changes around you. Don't be afraid to enter in. God makes an offer to you today. Comes into City Heights, comes into this room. Make all kinds of changes around you. Don't be afraid to enter into that change. He says, I come near to you. I'll touch your life. I'll give you new direction. I'll fill your gaps. Amen. Joseph took Mary home as his wife. They moved from betrothal to marriage. They did not consummate their marriage. They did not come together. He did not know her. You guys can figure that out later. This shows a measure of deference, of respect, of self-control by 13 and 14-year-olds. If you have kids of that age, you can hold them and raise them to this standard. If you have kids this age or not, you can still grab onto this standard. When Mary gave birth to Jesus, she was a virgin. In the same way that God filled Mary's womb, He can fill the gaps in our lives. Got gaps? Christmas 2016, everybody's got gaps. Lisa, you want to come up here? You can play. Plan of God is to miraculously fill the gaps in your life. Angel of the Lord came. Joseph, son of David, a king is coming to save his people from their sin. The king comes from the line of David. He's going to come and live in your house. Are you ready to enter into that? He comes to City Heights this morning. I know you came. You're like, man, I just came to see the play. But this morning, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. And He says, you've got these gaps, child. Aren't you tired? Don't you hurt enough?
to stop.
The Bible says where two or three are gathered in His way, in His name, and He is right there with us. He is right here in this room this morning. You come in with gaps in your life. You come in with pain and sin in your life. And He says, child, stop. I can help you with that if you let me. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're just thinking, I hear you, Lord. I hurt so bad. I've been trying so hard. I see the gaps and I just can't do anything about it, Lord. And He says, you just need to stop. I can fix this. But you stop and we'll go on together. You're here this morning and you hear the Lord's voice this morning. He's making that offer to you. Come and we'll go on together. And in your heart you just say, Lord, I want to. I'm going to change my direction. It's not working for me. Lord, I want to go with you. I'm stopping, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill my gaps, Lord. Save me from my sin, Lord. I'm so wound in sin, Lord. I don't even know what to do anymore. I'm stopping, Lord. Fill me, Lord. I want to go on with you from this place. You bow a head with me. You're here this morning, and that's your prayer. Saying, oh, yeah. Christmas 2016, I can't go on anymore like this. I need to be new. I want to go with you. Saying, Lord, fill me, guide me, direct me. I want to go with you. No one looking around. That's you this morning. And you dearly want to walk hand in hand with the Lord out of this building today. You want new life. You want to take the choices that you've been making and put them aside and make a new choice. The same way that Joseph did. He made choices that seemed totally rational. And the Lord said, those aren't the right choices. Here's a new choice for you. Grab onto me. We'll go through life together. Nobody looking around this morning and you're going, that's what I want for Christmas 2016, Lord. I want to walk with you. I want to grab your hand, Lord. If that's you this morning, I just want you to just slide your hand up and say, I want to grab onto the hand of the Lord. Here and here. Somebody else would say, that's me this morning. Raise your hand up here and here. That's me this morning. I want to walk with Lord right here. Somebody else would say, that's me right here. Amen. Back there, I see you. Yeah, amen. Back in the back, I see your hand.